Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 23 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. The topic today is NGOs. Stay tuned to find out more specifically what they are, how they affect cosmetic formulators, and what to do about them. Let's start with who and what these NGOs are and how they affect cosmetics and cosmetic chemists. NGO stands for non-governmental organization. This means they are made up of people who are not associated with the government. They are typically a nonprofit organization, and in fact, to maintain a nonprofit status, they must disallow anyone from the government to be part of the organization. Typically, an NGO is put together to affect some kind of social change or agenda. This can be by swaying public opinion or getting legislation or new regulations passed. In the U.S., there are about 1.5 million of these organizations. Fortunately, only a handful of them are focused on the cosmetic industry. There are a number of NGOs around the world that have an impact on the cosmetic industry. We'll first take a look at them and discuss what kinds of effect they're each having. The Environmental Working Group, or the EWG. In the U.S., this is probably the NGO with the biggest effect on the cosmetic industry. As NGOs go, they are well-funded and have an operating budget of over $6 billion a year. The EWG is based in Washington, D.C., and is a nonprofit group dedicated to the mission of protecting human health and the environment. They are an environmental organization that specializes in environmental research and advocacy in the areas of toxic chemicals, agricultural subsidies, public lands, and corporate accountability. They have been around for 20 years and are made up of policy experts, lawyers, PR people, computer programmers, and a couple of scientists. Their primary purpose, according to them, is to be standing up for the public health when government or industry won't. They claim that their mission is to serve as a watchdog to see that Americans get straight facts, unfiltered and unspun, so they can make healthier choices and enjoy a cleaner environment. Of course, they don't let science get in the way of their unfiltered, unspun conclusions that corporate America is evil and cosmetics represent a toxic wasteland, putting people's lives at risk every time they rub on a moisturizing lotion. One of the main ways that the EWG impacts the cosmetic industry is through their Skin Deep database. The Skin Deep database is supposed to be a cosmetic safety database which lists ingredients in over 41,000 products against 50 toxicity and regulatory databases. The database is intended as a resource for consumers who can search by ingredient or product when choosing personal care products. Unfortunately, there are some glaring flaws in their database, including false information, incomplete information, and a safety rating system that often makes no sense. This can be problematic for formulators because your consumer may look to the Skin Deep database to determine whether the ingredients in your formula are safe. In fact, some formulators use the database as a guide as to which ingredients to use or not. This really is not a good idea because the database is inaccurate and can be changed on a whim. If you're counting on selling to consumers who are persuaded by the Skin Deep database, you will be at a severe disadvantage to your competitors. Perhaps the worst thing about the EWG Skin Deep database is that they are unwilling to modify their conclusions when new evidence comes to light. They base their actions on their beliefs that industry is trying to harm people. And they use science only when it supports the message that they want to promote. Since they are a politically motivated group, they are unable to accept new science, which might indicate an ingredient is more safe than previous thought. In fact, I could find not one single instance of them changing their stance on an ingredient they previously claimed was dangerous. So things can always get more dangerous, according to their database, but things can never get safer. Incidentally, the EWG recently came out with a special seal of approval in which companies who meet the EWG standards and pay a significant fee can display on their product package to presumably communicate that the product is somehow more safe than others or that it complies to the Skin Deep database safety rules. So why is this bad? The problem with this database and their SEAL program is that it is not based on scientific evidence, and it provides consumers with erroneous information, giving them the impression that certain ingredients are inherently bad. This is just not true. The other problem is that there are people who start their own cosmetics lines and use the EWG database as a guide for formulating their products. They actually believe that their products are safe because of the ratings they can get on the Skin Deep database. In fact, some of them think that as long as the ingredients have a rating of 3 or less, they don't need to do any safety testing to launch their product. This is just wrong, and if you're following this same strategy, I would suggest that you don't. The Campaign for Safe Cosmetics is a group launched in 2004 dedicated to protecting the health of consumers and workers by securing the corporate, regulatory, and legislative reforms necessary to eliminate dangerous chemicals from cosmetics and personal care products. They are dedicated to getting anything they consider toxic out of cosmetics. Their main activities are producing reports warning of toxic ingredients in cosmetics, and the founder wrote a book called Not Just a Pretty Face. But they primarily focus on getting legislation passed that would ban certain chemicals from cosmetics. These include ingredients like preservatives, certain surfactants, and anything else that they deem toxic. It would add a serious burden to the selling of cosmetics and could put little companies out of business if something like this were passed. One of the things that they are good at spreading is chemophobia and the fear using tools of social media. They actually are pretty good at using social media, and unfortunately, that is because they're put together by PR people and not scientists. Typically, PR people, that's what they do. They use social media, and they're able to get their message out into the media. Scientists are not as good about that, even though the scientists are the ones who actually know the information about the toxicology of ingredients. Another NGO that affects the cosmetic industry is Greenpeace. They have been around since the late 1970s and started out protesting nuclear power. Now they focus primarily on environmental issues and toxic chemicals. They have targeted the cosmetic industry because of the use of things they consider toxic, such as phthalates, artificial fragrance ingredients, and triclosan. They are more of an international group, and one of the most significant impacts that they have on the cosmetic industry was their publication of the Cosmetox Guide. This is a booklet that went through and explained all the dangerous chemicals in cosmetics and then gave a rating to specific products. Green meant good, yellow meant okay, and red meant dangerous. So companies tried to get their products rated as green in this guide. The David Suzuki Foundation is based in Canada and was started by David Suzuki and Tara Cullis. Their stated mission is to protect the diversity of nature and our quality of life now and for the future. And their vision is that within a generation, Canadians act on the understanding that we are all interconnected and interdependent with nature. Their biggest impact on the cosmetic industry was a blog post entitled The Dirty Dozen Chemicals to Avoid. This article gets tons of traffic and has been tweeted and retweeted tens of thousands of times. They also encourage people to create their own homemade cosmetics. I guess they aren't worried about the danger of microbes, apparently. Interestingly enough, the David Suzuki organization claims to be a science-based organization, but the information and fears stated in the Dirty Dozen article is hardly scientifically based. Toxic ingredients are not the only issue that NGOs have with cosmetics. Another huge issue is animal testing. There are a number of groups who are working to get the cosmetic industry to ban any and all animal testing. PETA is one such group, and they have been very vocal about being anti-animal testing since the 1970s. Other groups have attempted to be more constructive and have gotten the attention of at least some cosmetic companies. The Coalition for Consumer Information on Cosmetics is a group that was founded by a number of groups dedicated to animal protection. The CCIC promotes a single comprehensive standard and an internationally recognized Leaping Bunny logo. They are working with companies to help make shopping for animal-friendly products easier and more trustworthy. The Leaping Bunny program is signed by hundreds of companies, of course, none of these being big companies. To join the program, you have to agree to ban animal testing for finished products and ingredients. Work only with suppliers who end animal testing for the ingredients and formulations supplied to your company. And 3, refuse to do any new animal testing. Now that we know who the main players are, you might be wondering, what is their motivation? On the face of it, their motivation is to accomplish their stated goal. For some, it is to get rid of animal testing. For others, it's to get manufacturers to remove things they consider toxic from cosmetic products. But there are also a couple of other motivations. Generating money is clearly a motivator. They raise millions of dollars in donations each year, providing good salaries for their employees. Each of these sites has a section dedicated to donations. The best of these is the Environmental Working Group, who requests a donation every time you access their SkinDeep database. The people who run these organizations are professionals in the nonprofit industry and are skilled at generating donations. If you need proof that money is a motivator, consider the EWG and their sunscreen guide. The sunscreen guide presumably tells people which sunscreens are safe and which are not. On their website, they have a link to all different sunscreens, even the ones they consider unsafe. But if you click on the link to something they consider unsafe, it links to an Amazon page for the product, of which the EWG gets a commission every time someone buys that product. So on the one hand, they are telling people that the product is unsafe, but on the other hand, they are taking a kickback from Amazon anytime someone buys that product. If their primary concern was to get people to use only safe products, I did not see how they could take money from the sale of what they consider an unsafe product. The other motivation, of course, is power. The more influence that the groups can generate, the more power they can derive. They can use this power to force legislation through, influence leaders, and manipulate cosmetic manufacturers. All right, now that we know who they are and what their motivations are, let's see what kinds of effects they are having, or at least the effect they are claiming to have. A recent story that came out was an announcement from Walmart that said they were going to require manufacturers to remove 10 toxic chemicals from their household and personal care products. As you know, Walmart is a huge customer to almost everyone in the United States, so this will have a major impact on companies that produce cosmetics. Walmart has already had a big impact with their sustainability initiatives, and this is just another hurdle for manufacturers are going to have to follow. Interestingly, they did not yet announce what the 10 toxic chemicals are. It's possible that they will be ingredients that most companies don't use anyway, but we'll see. Another recent story that I saw was how these NGOs affected the cosmetic industry was J&J's recent decision to reformulate their J&J baby shampoo. It was pointed out by the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics that J&J had a different formula around the world, and they claimed that the U.S. version was much more toxic. It contained quaternium 15, which is a formaldehyde donor preservative, and the CFSC considers this ingredient to be toxic. Rather than step aside from the negative publicity, J&J gave in to the group and they reformulated their product. I'm not sure it was such a great idea, but you know, that's what they decided to do for a business standpoint. It probably gave them new news to talk about. So from a publicity standpoint, maybe it was good for them. But from an ethics standpoint, I'm not sure, because their product that contains quaternium 15 was not unsafe. P&G just recently announced that they were removing phthalates and triclosan from their products. The NGO groups claim a victory, but P&G says that they had been working for years to remove these ingredients from their products. They also say that there's nothing wrong with products that contain this ingredient. Note that neither J&J or P&G agree with the claim that the NGOs make that the ingredients are unsafe. In fact, P&G says DEP has been thoroughly studied and found to be safe, but we understand that DEP can get mistakenly linked to other phthalates in the public discussion because of its name. So we have been working for several years to eliminate DEP from the fragrances used in our products. We are 70% of the way there and will be finished by 2014. All of this fear is causing consumers to waste money on more expensive products. Typically, big companies are the target of these fear-mongering groups, and little companies get a pass. In fact, in recent legislation that was proposed to overhaul the FDA's regulation of cosmetics, there was a special exemption for companies that make under $2 million a year in sales. It doesn't make much sense to me that the size of the company should dictate whether they are allowed to sell, presumably, less safe cosmetics. Another problem with these groups is they force manufacturers to stop using ingredients, but they don't offer alternatives. There are not many preservatives that work as well as parabens and formaldehyde donors. When cosmetic chemists remove them from their toolbox, they have to use alternative ingredients that have not been thoroughly safety tested. Arguably, this makes for less safe products. But NGOs don't seem to care about that much. One of the reasons that NGOs are effective now is that direct communication to the public has become much, much easier. It used to be that you'd have to spend a lot of money on press releases and advertisings, but now NGOs have taken to the internet and use social media to get their message out. The story of cosmetics, which is a completely misinformed look at how cosmetic products are made, got 1.3 million views. They do an excellent job on Twitter and rank high on internet searches for common cosmetic products. The CFSC has over 75,000 Facebook likes. These organizations are run by PR professionals who know how to leverage social media. It doesn't matter much that the information they provide is skewed or just patently false. Their power on social media also spills over into the blogging community, and more specifically, the beauty blogging community. There are literally thousands of beauty blogs that look to the Skin Deep database or repost press releases from the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics without any critical evaluation. It's, quite frankly, it's downright depressing. And while it is difficult to say that their actions have led to anything concrete, you know, despite them taking credit for moves by P&G and J&J, their effect can certainly be seen when you do a Google search. On the internet, they rank high for many cosmetic chemicals and even terms like sunscreen. When consumers search for ingredients, they usually find the Environmental Working Group. And that brings us to the main question: why should cosmetic chemists care? How does this affect your career? Well, there are a number of reasons that you should learn and care about these groups. The primary problem is that they're making your job as a formulator much more difficult. Some formulators are forced to avoid perfectly fine functional ingredients, and it is reducing your ability to create innovative products. Restrictions on testing usually lead to the development of fewer new raw materials. Another reason to care is that NGOs may be making products less safe. There is less testing of the replacement ingredients, and that could lead to dangerous situations. These groups also encourage people to make their own cosmetics, which can be dangerous if they are not properly preserved. In fact, one of the most frequent reasons for product recalls is because of inadequate preservation. Companies avoiding parabens and formaldehyde donors are using less effective and less safe alternatives. People are literally being harmed by cosmetic products. So now that you know about these NGOs and the negative effect they are having on cosmetic industry, you might be wondering, what can you do to fight back against this nonsense? Well, here are just a few suggestions. To offset the misinformation of these groups, we need to start creating the real information. We need to start telling people what is really true and start putting these things in perspective. While I would encourage companies to invest some money into doing this, they haven't really wanted to do this, as I've suggested before. Here is something you as a formulator can do. First, start a blog. One of the reasons I started the Beauty Brains blog, which is my other blog, was because I wanted to offset some of the BS that was being produced about beauty products. The blog got me a book deal and got me on TV and led to the message getting out that cosmetics are not dangerous. Participate in social media. Get started with Twitter or Facebook and start spreading a message of truth. Get more followers and be sure to understand the topic that you're writing about and the things that are being said about your product. Comment on articles. Leave comments on newspaper articles that are filled with misinformation. While these NGOs are spreading misinformation, there is some benefits to cosmetic chemists and the cosmetic industry. Often these groups cause your company to reformulate. This is good for job security for cosmetic chemists. Your company has to come up with new raw materials, and so this is a chance to force you to be innovative. And you have to come up with new formulas with limited ingredients. This could also lead to some innovative formulations. But despite these positives, it also means that you may be spending time on recreating perfectly fine formulas and not on making improved products that consumers are going to want. And we are also teaching people to fear our products and giving up power and decision to non-science-based groups. While there are some benefits to the effect of NGOs on our industry, the negatives far outweigh the positives, in my view. In the end, I don't know if these groups are good or bad for the cosmetic industry. I mostly think they are bad, but it remains to be seen how it affects the industry in the future. If consumers were better informed, then I have little doubt that these groups would become rather ineffective. However, sometimes being better informed only makes you become more convinced that your wrong opinion is correct, so I don't really know. For formulators, you will undoubtedly be asked about the issue raised by the NGOs, so it is important for you to have a working knowledge of who they are and what kinds of claims they make. Whether you want to participate in combating the nonsense put out by these groups is really another matter altogether. I would hope every formulator would want to, but I can understand why some people would not. Today's challenge. The challenge today will be for you to become familiar with one of the NGOs that we talked about and get an idea of the types of claims they make, how they generate their money, and how it might affect your formulations. The way to do this is visit one of their websites we have linked in the show notes and just review the information they are posting. See if you can find any science that backs up their claims. See if you can find any science that disputes their claims. Remember, the information on these websites are the kinds of information that your customers will be reading about. When your marketing people or friends and family ask you about ingredients in cosmetics, you should have a good idea of what the science really says. It's one thing for me to tell you that cosmetics are perfectly safe, but it's much better for you to find the scientific studies that convince you. But to find out what information you need to search, you first have to find out what NGOs are saying and what consumers might erroneously be believing. After you complete today's task, go to the show notes page and leave a comment about what you found out. Also, if you are left with questions that you can't answer, please post these and we can start a valuable discussion. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. On tomorrow's program, we are going to talk more about your cosmetic industry career and specifically how you can use the internet to help you advance it. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in the show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues or anyone else you think might be interested. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or whatever podcast playing service you're using. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This helps up our profile in iTunes and will help other people find the show. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at Chemist's Corner. And like our page on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum, and I encourage you to go sign up and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered there, so just go to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.